Let me wait, get my recorder on here. I'm going to do something for the radio here. And you know, the radio ministry has really been amazing to me. The number of people that have heard, and it just continues to amaze me. I had some doubts about going on and so forth, but it's been a real blessing, and I certainly appreciate all the airtime we're getting. I would encourage you to listen. It's WJOC 1490, and Trey has done a wonderful job and continues to, and has given us an awful lot of airtime, and we appreciate that. All right, in Colossians chapter 2, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Colossians 2, verse 10. And in Colossians 2, 10, the Apostle Paul says, "You're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also you are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised Him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross." That's a wonderful passage of Scripture. And it speaks to the fact, folks, that there is nothing that we can do within our flesh to bring about our salvation. The Apostle Paul, when he writes this letter, is writing, of course, to the church at Colossae. And when he writes this letter to that church, he warns them about some things in the verses previous to what I read. He says back there in verse 4, "And this I say, lest any man should beguile you with enticing words." So there's the warning there that there are going to be those that are going to try to beguile or to trick them, and they're going to do it through enticing words. "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet am I with you in the spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk you in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, as you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in Him." Now, I believe when you look at that all in the context of where it's written, that when Paul says we're complete in Him, what he is addressing is the fact that vain deceit and philosophy and tradition of men and the rudiments of the world will try to convince you that you're not complete in Him. You see, when a person is saved, they're saved by trusting in what Jesus Christ did at Calvary plus nothing. Jesus Christ, the Bible said, Paul said, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone that believeth." He defines that gospel in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 3 and 4. He said how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that He was buried, and then He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, he said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." So salvation is a free gift. It's based upon you trusting in what Jesus Christ did for you at Calvary. It's not repeating a prayer. It's not repenting of your sins. It's not confessing your sins. It's not joining the church. It's trusting in what Christ did for you on Calvary, plus nothing. Now, when you do that, then instantaneously, you pass from death unto life. Simply by believing that Christ died for you and trusting in what He did. Listen, folks, anything you add to that is a work. There's a man on the radio station out of Tampa, Florida, Hank Lindstrom. And while I don't agree with everything he teaches, I love to hear him talk about salvation because that man understands salvation by grace through faith. He was talking about the other day how many people will go over to Revelation. He said, "Almost every track I pick up," he said, "I look at those tracks, and and they'll have that verse over there in Revelation. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open up. He said, listen, those verses are not written to you and I. Those verses are written to the church there at Laodicea. And he said, it amazes me how that it's hard to find a gospel tract without giving, that doesn't give people something to do in their flesh. Salvation is what you're trusting in. It's what you're resting in. It's what you're believing in. And what you're saved. The Bible says you're complete in Him. Now, you need to understand that when we talk about being complete in Him, that doesn't mean that we're just to sit down and do nothing. What He's talking about is our standing before Him, spiritually speaking. You see, Paul said there in Ephesians 2:10, we are His workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works. So there are some things that we are to do. We're to study to show ourselves approved unto God. A workman needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So there are many instructions. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 14, if any man be spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. The Apostle Paul, our apostle, in this dispensation of grace, has some specific instructions for us. But he's also got some admonition. And one of the things that God wants us to know is that when we're saved, there is nothing that we can do in our flesh to improve on that salvation. There is nothing we can do to make it any better. The Bible says we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And it's interesting in Colossians chapter 2, in verse 10, when he says you're complete in Him, he then addresses two issues that were very prominent with the Jewish people. Number one, he said, in whom also you are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands. You remember back in the book of Galatians? In the book of Galatians, circumcision was a real issue. There were those that came behind the Apostle Paul at Galatia, and they told those Galatians that if you're not circumcised, you can't be saved. Paul said that's a perverted gospel. That's another gospel. And so he says here, you've been circumcised, but it's with a circumcision made without hands and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. Then he says in verse 12, buried with Him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God who hath raised Him from the dead. The baptism he's talking about there, 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. So he's talking about a spiritual baptism, and you know that because he says we were risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. You see, we were identified with Christ in His death, in His burial, and in His resurrection. So that when we are saved, placed into the body of Christ, we are complete in Him. And there is nothing that we can do in this flesh to improve on what God's already done. And yet, so much of religion today, in order to keep people under bondage, has told them, you've got to do this, you've got to do that, so forth and so on. Listen, the one thing that we see here in Colossians chapter 2, one of the things that we see, or there's actually several. Number one, we have a circumcision made without hands. We have a spiritual baptism. He says there that He has forgiven us all trespasses. You see, your sins are not really the issue, because your sins were forgiven at Calvary. Christ died for your sins. He was buried and He was raised again the third day. So your sins are forgiven. And not only that, he goes on to say in verse 14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. You remember what Paul said the purpose of the law was? He said the purpose of the law was that every mouth might be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. Do you realize that God can never declare us as saints of the Most High God guilty on the basis of the law once we've trusted Jesus Christ, because He took it out of the way and nailed it to His cross? Not only did He forgive us of our trespasses and of our sins, but He removed the very document whereby we could be condemned, and He nailed it to His cross, and He took it out of the way. That's a wonderful thing. That's why Paul's able to say, listen, you're complete in Him. You're crucified with Him. You're buried with Him. You're risen with Him through the faith of the operation of God. Now, go back, if you will, to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. In Ephesians 1, the Apostle Paul mentions some very specific things in relation to all that we have in Christ. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. A couple of important words there. One of them is all. He has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Do you realize and understand, folks, that the moment that you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you were baptized into His body, and you had every spiritual blessing that accompanied salvation. You didn't get them by earning them. I mean, it's not like you get into the body of Christ and then God starts, when you reach this level of service, you get this blessing, you reach another. That's not the picture. The picture is that with salvation, we got the whole package, if you want to say that. We got it all. We've been blessed with all, and He said, spiritual blessings. You see, the reason He emphasizes there the spiritual blessings is because Israel, God's people of the Old Testament, and what we see in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, is we see physical blessings that have to do with the earth. He told in Matthew 5, the meek shall inherit the earth. But for us, as members of the church, the body of Christ, we've been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's not to say that there are no physical blessings. But what Paul is putting emphasis on here are the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Look down in verse 6. He said, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the blood. You see, there are people today that they are working to be accepted. Brother Frank's talking about marriage up here and that kind of thing. You know, it's a wonderful thing in a marriage relationship to reach the point where you are comfortable with one another and you're not always under that pressure to perform. You're not under that pressure to meet up to the other's expectations. Now, you want to on the basis of the Word of God. But you know, there are situations in marriages where one spouse or the other, it's like they're just always under some type of pressure to perform in order to be accepted by the other person. Well, let me tell you something even better than that. It's to know that you're accepted in the blood. God Almighty has accepted you not on the basis of who you are, but He's accepted you on the basis of who Christ is and what Christ did in your behalf. You're complete in Him. You're not working for your acceptance. You're not trying to gain it. When you trust Jesus Christ and you're put in that body, you're accepted in the blood. Not only that, in verse 7 it says, In whom we have redemption through His blood. We've been redeemed. That is, we've been purchased. We've been bought back. The Bible says we're sold under sin. And we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, and it's according to the riches of His grace. Verse 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. We're talking in Sunday school about faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We have wisdom, we have prudence. He says in verse 9, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He hath purposed in Himself. So in our completeness, we've been accepted, we've been redeemed. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. We've been forgiven all trespasses. We've received wisdom and prudence, and we can know the will of God by the Word of God. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul said, it is God's will that all men be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. Go back, if you will, to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians 6. First Corinthians 6 in verse number 9, the Apostle Paul says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Notice verse 11. "And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Think about all those things that you have. You've been washed. The Apostle Paul talks in Ephesians chapter 5 about the washing of water by the Word. It's not a physical cleansing, folks. It's the washing of water by the Word. He said you are washed. He said you are sanctified. You see, these aren't things you're achieving toward. These aren't things that you're looking forward to or working toward. These are things that became yours upon believing the gospel of Christ. Automatically, you're complete in Him. You're redeemed, you're accepted, you're forgiven, you are washed, you are sanctified. That is, you've been set aside, set apart for the service of God Almighty. And that was an act of Him. Now there is a practical sanctification that needs to take place in your life that Paul talks about over in Thessalonians. He said to put off certain things, put on certain things. But you are sanctified. And not only that, ye are justified. I'm telling you, folks, we're getting on shouting ground here. I mean, I was talking in Sunday school about this ministry, you know, preaching over in Acts there, Paul, or in Corinthians, Paul said, "I want to be helpers of your joy." You can't get joyful about this. You need some Prozac or something, I'm telling you. This is what we are in Christ. This is what we have as a result of being placed in Christ. I mean, think about it. You know, some reason people don't appreciate this is because they don't appreciate what they really are. If you saw yourself like God Almighty sees you, you would appreciate the things we're talking about this morning because you don't deserve them. Every one of us deserve to be burning in the devil's hell right now, and yet we're children of the Most High God. We are saints. We're accepted in the blood. We're His Son, His children, all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. It just don't get any better than that. He says, "You're washed, you're sanctified, you're justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God." Don't you see who's doing it? It's not us. It's something that was done through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why we exalt Him in all that He did. So we are forgiven. We're sanctified. Look over in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Verse 11, he said, "In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory who first trusted in Christ, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of His glory." You see, not only have you been transformed and placed into the body of Christ, accepted, sanctified, justified, washed, cleansed, all of that, you've been guaranteed, absolutely guaranteed, that your salvation is secure. There was nothing you could do to get it, and there's nothing you have to do to keep it. Say, "Well, I, it's so sad, folks, when you talk to people and they're, are you saved? Well, I hope so. I just believe that one day we're going to stand before the Lord, and at that point we'll know if we're saved. No, you can know right now that you're saved. You don't have to wait till the day you stand before. It's going to be too late then. You can know you're saved, and the moment you're saved, you are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Folks, let me just tell you this for sure. If you remaining saved had anything to do with you, you'd mess it up so bad. Think about that. There ain't nothing we do maybe I'm just talking about myself here. Just make a mess of it. I'm telling people the other night, I think I mentioned it here last time, I had this. Had Tim in the car, or Will in the car with me, Will and Clary, and they always want to put the sunroof back. So I put the sunroof back. Next morning, I went outside and grabbed the water hose, going to hose the car off. And I just hosed the car off, and washed the top off. And I thought, boy, that sunroof looks dirty up there. I'm not backing the disc there. And I'm just hosing, and I opened the door, and water just sitting in the seats and the floorboard and everything. Yeah, I mean, it don't matter what it is. You can mess it up. I can. Except salvation. You see, the only way people mess that up is by preaching the wrong doctrine, telling people you got to do something to get saved or stay saved. God fixed it so that once you trust His Son, He places you into that body and He seals you, and you're sealed until the day of redemption. Thank God for that. Look back to Romans chapter 5 a moment. Romans chapter 5. In Romans chapter 5, we mentioned there a moment ago about being justified, sanctified, cleansed, washed, all those things. In Romans chapter 5, after Paul's written that great chapter in chapter 4 about justification, he says in the last verse there, Romans 4:25, He was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. And in chapter 5, verse 1, he says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, being justified by faith. Now, if you were justified by works, there's no way you could have peace, because you would always be wondering if you did enough. You know, the thing about that came out years ago, there were some guys preaching this idea of lordship salvation. And the teaching behind that was that you've got to make Jesus Lord of your life. You've got to be committed to Him in order to be saved. Well, I always wanted to ask the question, at what point do you know that you're committed enough? At what point have you surrendered enough? And that's a terrible, terrible... I remember hearing that on Moody Radio, and I wrote the general manager a letter, and I said, for years, Moody Radio has preached salvation by grace through faith, and why you're allowing this doctrine on there is beyond me. Never got a response. Listen, folks, to teach that you've got to do something, I talk to people. I know the turmoil in people's lives when they don't believe that they're forgiven, when they don't believe that it's all under the blood. It's a terrible thing. Because it's always, have I done enough? Have I confessed? I was talking to a lady out in Texas, and she said for years, every night, I got down beside my bed as an adult, and I prayed, and I confessed my sins, and I asked for forgiveness. And she said, I can't tell you the number of nights I laid there sleepless, wondering if maybe there was a sin I committed that I'd forgot to confess. She said, then I heard about the grace of God, and I found out all my sins were forgiven. She said, I've been sleeping good ever since. Listen, folks, there's nothing but turmoil in the life of people that don't understand justification by faith. And because of that, they don't have the peace of God that passes all understanding. He said, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And it's one thing to have peace with God, but we also have the peace of God, which passes
all understand it. It's the peace that we have. We're not always about physical circumstances around us. I mean, I get upset, you know, like the brother's talking about. You know, you watch TV enough. I told you a couple weeks ago, I just quit watching the national news. You just want to throw a brick at your TV. And so I just quit watching it. You get upset about physical things. But I'm talking about knowing that you know that the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior. You've been accepted in the blood. You've been redeemed by His blood. You've been forgiven all trespasses. The law's been taken out of the way. You've been justified. You've been sanctified. You've been washed. And therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God because we know that we've been sealed unto the day of redemption. And it's a wonderful thing to know that. It's a wonderful thing to know that you're complete in Him. Now, if you would go back to Colossians chapter 2, and let's bring this to a conclusion. In Colossians, there, where we started out, Paul says in verse 6 of Colossians 2, "As you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk you in Him." Well, how did you receive Him? You received Him by grace through faith. Then you're to walk by faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you've been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. The things we've been talking about this morning are things that you can continually give thanks for. But here's the warning. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you're complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. You see, there's something you need to understand and realize. When you're saved and you're sealed on the day of redemption, there's not one thing the devil can do to you. You're sealed. But he's not through trying. And so what he wants to do is blind your eyes from the truth of all that you have in Christ and get you in bondage and get a hold of your mind. And so somebody comes along and they start preaching philosophy. They preach the traditions of men. They preach the rudiments of world. And these things aren't after Christ, they're after man. And what do? They try to convince people that they're not complete in Him. And they don't try to tell people, if you really want the blessing of God, then you got to give a tithe. If you really want the blessing of God, you got to attend church. Let me tell you something, folks. You've already been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. They're all yours. On the basis of what Christ did. All those other things have to do with our service for Him. You're complete in Him. Don't let anyone, preacher, teacher, friend, neighbor, family member, convince you otherwise and put you under bondage where you don't enjoy and appreciate the glorious grace of God. The glorious truth that you're complete in Him. And if you're not saved, you can be saved by trusting in all that He did for you at Calvary. Not by walking the aisle, not by joining the church, not by repeating the prayer. Believe the fact that Christ died on the cross for your sins, became your sacrifice, was buried, and was raised again the third day. And having believed that, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just completely and totally rely on all that He did for you at Calvary. And He'll save you. And when you're saved, you're complete in Him. That's what the Bible says, and that's what you need to rest in as a saint of the Most High God. All right. Generally, I keep you longer than radio broadcast, but I'm not going to this morning. Stop there and you pray for the radio broadcast as it goes out. These are some wonderful, wonderful truths, folks, that we have in Christ. And you know, amidst all the struggles in this world and the disappointments and the hurt and the heartache and all that kind of thing, you know what's so wonderful about what we just talked about this morning? Those are some things that never, ever change. They're the consistencies. They're the things that you have regardless of whether anybody loves you or not, or
whether things are going bad at work or things are going bad in the family, no matter what, those are the things you can rest in. And those are the things that are most important. That's why Paul said, let your conversation be in heaven. Let your conversation be there. Think about the things that we are and we have in Christ and the blessings that we have in Him. When all the world around you seems to be falling apart, you can rest in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for you at Calvary. Would you stand with me for prayer?